that hinder us from following Jesus or entering the kingdom of heaven. Did I have it on right the first time? Check, check, check. There you go. Okay. In our passage this morning in John chapter 8, Jesus says, "And you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And you know, I don't know about you, but I just can't believe why anyone wouldn't want to be free. I can't believe why anyone wouldn't want to know the truth. It's hard to fathom that. But you know what? From the age of 0 to the age of 26, I didn't want to know what the truth was. Didn't know what the truth was. I was happy. And sometimes I think of myself as being more free then than I am now, which is incorrect, because that's not what the Bible tells me. And you that are in bondage to what? A spouse? Oh no, if you're in bondage to your spouse, you're missing the boat. Okay? You know, ball and chain, folks. Sin is a ball and chain. Sin is where bondage is. And we're going to look at that in a couple verses this morning in God's holy word. But we've talked about it. You shall be free indeed. Folks, I don't know about you, but let freedom ring, right? It's not 4th of July sermon. It just came to me, and for me, for this week, to encourage us, to edify us, to remind us, to convict us in our walk, starting on this first day of the week God's blessed us with this morning. Continuing in the passage, Jesus says these things as he's reasoning. And he says, "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. We know who we are. We know who we're following. Don't tell us what to do." Boy, I don't know about you, Bob, but I fall in that trap. Don't tell me what to do, and then next day I need some help. Right? I can be careful, you know. I fall into that trap at work. Don't tell me, don't tell me, don't tell me, boss. I already did that. I know that. Haven't you seen this? Then the next time, "I need a little help with this. Can you give me a little help?" But that's what these guys were saying to Jesus. "We know who we are. We don't need your help. How do you know the truth? We come from Abraham. I've been a good person. Good people are following God. That's what this world thinks. All good people are going to heaven." Folks, that's not what God's Bible says. That's not what his word says. The creator of heaven says, "You follow me, you obey me, you'll be saved and have life eternal." Nowhere in here in God's holy word does it say all good people go to heaven. You know, they're looking down on us now. I don't know. You know, if heaven's that great, I think all those people that have gone that have made it past this life to eternal life in heaven, it's like going to Hawaii, right? And saying, "Hell, I think I'm going to go to Alaska and do me a little mountain climbing in a snowstorm next." Now, some people that might be energizing too, but most people, no, they... You know, they want to stay right in Hawaii. That's the same thing once we get to heaven, folks. It's way beyond what we can ever imagine. And it's worth the wait. And it's worth being in Christ and following him for those things. But these people say, ah, that's where we're at. We're right. I'm right with God. Don't you tell me what to do. I don't know who you are. Then Jesus says this. If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. For he was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God. It's hard to believe, folks, in my life, why somebody wouldn't want to follow Jesus. It's made my life complete and perfect. It has helped me be content as I can be, okay, in the flesh. It has helped me in my career. It's helped me in my relationships at work, at home, at play. Jesus has been the answer for my life. And I just can't understand why someone wouldn't believe in that too. But you know that happens. This is a classic example. And Jesus gives the reason why. You're just not of me. You're of Satan. And I know, folks, that's hard for us to grasp. Once we know the truth and we know how precious it is, and we're free in him, he has set us free from the bondage of sin and of the pollution of this world. And the things that trouble us. And we want to share that with everybody we meet. Some folks are just going to say no. Some folks are going to say not for me. And in reality, their father is the devil. In Galatians 5:1, and continuing with our thought, pertaining to God's holy word, you shall be free indeed. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, part of that bondage is talking about the old law and the new law, and circumcision, uncircumcision. But I'd like for us to focus that Christ has made us free. Only him. He's the only true Lamb of God. He is the only door. He is the only shepherd. He is the only way to understand God. Now, God sent multiple prophets ahead of him and a lot of godly, good people. People that walk by faith. Followed him. But for some reason, just like we were studying Bible class this morning, people, they don't want to follow what God says. They don't want to follow God's leaders. You know? Why do we have all the churches of Christ and all the Christian churches, folks? Almost all of them were Church of Christ in 1950, 60, and 40. 1960s and 70s, people decided they wanted to do a little bit of their own stuff. They wanted to add to and take away from God's holy word. That's why there's Christian churches now. And they're not all churches of Christ. Read the history. Same things happen. We don't want to follow you. We don't want to follow you exactly. We want to add to and take away and change a little bit of stuff here and there. Makes us feel better. Ask how those people that wandered 40 years in the wilderness felt. Folks, we do not want to wander 5, 10, 15, 20, or 40 years in the wilderness. We want to be free. Christ has set us free. In Galatians, continue in chapter 5, 13 through 15, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Isn't it funny how love and liberty are tied in the same verse? And there's warnings to stay away from fleshly things, right? And you know what? Was Galatians written to all those heathens and those people that didn't believe in Jesus? No. They were written to Christian people. Christian people. And when we see this happen in our lives, people biting and devouring one another and being hateful, we say, oh, we shouldn't be that way. You're right. But it happened back then. And the Apostle Paul had to remind folks, stop. You're free. You're in liberty. Follow Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. As we studied and Brother Brad mentioned this morning, a passage, I think, from Philippians. Esteem others above yourself. You know, that's tough, folks. It's tough. Jesus was the ultimate example, okay? He just pleased other people. Let me help you. Are you sick? Let me help you. Are you troubled? Let me help you. You need something to eat? Let me help you. You feeling bad? Let me help you. Let me tell you about heaven. Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about good things. Let me remind you, you can't do those things because you're not going to have good things. You're not going to be free if you keep doing those things. Jesus has made us free. Free from sin, free from doubt, free from loneliness, free from despair. Just keep adding on to whatever's in your life right now that's hindering you from being at liberty. Or hindering you from loving one another and serving one another. That's a good question for us to ask ourselves. Do I love my neighbor as myself? Yes, Bob, you're my closest neighbor. I love you, buddy. I care about you. I can relate. But folks, be kind to one another. Be an example as Jesus has. Take that next step. It's tough to do sometimes. It's tough. In 2 Peter 2:20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than in the beginning." I mentioned this passage, okay, about freedom. Being entangled, okay, ensnared. You know, how many of us feel trapped? Oh, I just can't do what I want to do. Oh, I just don't have the money I want to have. Oh, I just, you know, I wish I hadn't ate so much. See, I'm gonna look in the mirror because I'm looking at myself. I want to look at somebody and think I'm thinking of them. Okay, I'm just being honest. I shouldn't have ate that. Okay. Then I go to the mind. I shouldn't have watched that. I shouldn't have turned that on. I shouldn't ask about that. Talking to Brother Adam, you know, we're talking about TV shows, you know, and the kids, Lil Easton's asking something. What's that word? Well, that's a good reason why we probably ought to, you know. You censor your TV a lot better when you got little ones around. Folks. Why wouldn't we just turn it off? Why is it okay to say it's okay, it's adult stuff? Just a thought. And it's convicting to me too. Because they are pollutions. I've mentioned pollutions a little bit earlier, and you're kind of, where'd you get that from? You know, any tree hugger you? I said, well, no. No, not that type of pollution, even though we need to be responsible with what God's given us. Escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's made us free. He's made us free. He's overcome, you know? In Revelation, it mentions, I've overcome, I've overcome, I've overcome. I did it, you can do it. I did it, you can do it. Don't be bound by the things each and every day. Now, don't get me wrong. God chastises those whom he loves. And sometimes we get tested about things. But it doesn't say that it's a test. Life's a gift. We have tests during life. We have trials during life. But Christ has made us free. And folks, it is tough. It is tough when somebody has tasted the heavenly gift and they become entangled in the pollution of the world again. It's tough for them to repent and continue and come back to following Jesus. It's not impossible, but it's tough. It's very tough, folks. We've seen it in our people we love, their lives. But I plead with you this morning, don't become one of those people. Make sure that pollution in the world is not part of your life. Or you can say no to Satan, whatever he's tempting you with, because he tempts us all. We're not immune to being tempted. We're not immune to the pollutions of this world. And yes, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. They'll be held accountable. Somehow, some way, because that's what God's word says. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it is written, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now this passage came to mind when I'm thinking about being free. Okay? We talk about the old ball and chain. Okay? Catherine, I know you looked at DC. That's okay, because I was looking at him too. The old ball and chain. Folks, we think about that. We joke about that. But folks, we need to make sure that we don't buy into the world's thing that marriage is a bad thing. That a relationship's not a bad thing. That disappointments and heartaches can't be resolved. That forgiveness is not an option, because it's always an option in the kingdom of heaven with Jesus. But let us lay aside every weight in the sin which so easily ensnares us. Folks, each and every one of us has sin that easily ensnares us. And a lot of times it's personal sins. But that's the time to say, Satan, get behind me. That's the time to say, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, which way do I turn? What can I do so I don't fall into sin? I don't fall into the pollution that's in this world. Folks, we just read a passage. Jesus said those people are of Satan. He don't have to work as hard on those other people because they're already following him. There's a whole bunch of people think they're following Jesus and doing the right thing, and they're not. They're just halfway following him, just enough for him to feel right. Satan's got them. It's a tragedy. But he's got to work harder on us. So we need to be more diligent. We need to say, Satan, get behind me in my life, in our lives. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Freedom only comes from learning about Jesus and having him in your life. Have his blood wash away your sins. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Folks, when you talk about freedom and being free in Christ, And you talk about burdens. We all are going to have some burdens, okay? But let's not fall in the trap of the world. And Satan wants us. I mentioned this recently, but I thought it fit good into this lesson. You are more free in Christ and obeying the truth and obeying God than you are any other time in your life. But the world wants you to think, oh, you're fuddy-duddies and oh, you're old-fashioned and oh, that's the way they used to do it. And oh, that's not the truth now. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what's so precious about him and his holy word. As we read those people in the Old Testament times, God was the same God back then as he is now. For this is the love of God. You know, we see people carrying signs and protesting, love is love is love is love and true love and love and love and love. And they don't know who God is. So how can they know what true love is? How can they know what love really is? Because they don't know God. It's obvious for the things that they're standing up for. And for us to be convicted in our hearts, am I following all the commandments of God? Do I really love him? Am I really thankful for him? Folks, his commandments are not burdensome. I've mentioned this and I'll mention it again, you know. How many times you come to worship service and think, man, I wish I hadn't gone. I didn't like singing those songs. I didn't like praying to God. I didn't like remembering Jesus and what he's done for me. That preacher's terrible. Well, you might have said that, okay. But that's why I put the Holy Word of God up here for us. Even if you don't like me, folks, forgive me and take in what God's word has to say. It's God's word. They're not burdensome. They're the truth. They direct our lives. And we don't get it, folks, unless we're looking at it. Unless we read it, you know. I can live with my beautiful wife for years and years and years. And if I never tell her she's beautiful and I love her, and she means a lot to me, and she's precious, how is she ever going to know? I can be a good person all my life, but I never read God's word, and I never listen to him say, follow me, do this, do that. Yeah, and there are do's and don'ts, folks, but that's what life is, do's and don'ts. Come on now. I don't get to get in my car and drive across the interstate and drive all over the place and take a left where there's no off-ramp, drive through Bob's yard, Tom's yard, while I'm heading over to Brad's yard. Okay? We got all kinds of do's and don'ts in life. Why don't we accept them in our freedom, in our religious life? That's how we're successful, by obeying him. That's what God wants us to do. That's showing that we love him, by obeying him. His commandments are not burdensome. That's a worldly thought. That's a worldly thought. That's tough. I got to grab a hold of that because I grew up. I got to do that? Yeah. Yeah. And in closing this morning, let's recap some famous quotes from God's holy word that we might be able to remember and inspire us this week. Jesus said, abide in my word. The truth shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. There's a song, Free, Free, Free. We haven't sung it in a long time, I don't think. You remember that one, DC? Have you ever sung that one before? We used to sing it after somebody was baptized into Christ at a congregation somewhere. Anyways, you shall be free indeed. Christ has made us free. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, not maybe if we're good. Each and every minute, second of existence, Christ has made us free. You have been called to liberty, to enjoy life. You have escaped the pollutions of the world. Let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His commandments are not burdensome. Folks, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, have your sins removed and enter the kingdom of heaven. We offer that opportunity this morning. If you have need of the prayers of prayers of the congregation for any reason, or is a great opportunity for you to turn your life over to Jesus, we offer that opportunity as we stand to sing a selected hymn this morning.